They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, red with the wounds and deep. For those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Mitchell Dean, they simply passed him by. They didn't hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender. They wouldn't give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained, the wintry rain that drenches through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. The author of that is a man called G. Studdart Kennedy. And he is trying to relate the brutality of Calvary contrasted with the world's indifference as time had gone on. In fact, indifference is the title of the poem. He was an army chaplain during World War I, ironically called the war to end all wars. But that century became the bloodiest and most destructive century in human history. Kennedy died when he was 29. And almost a century later, I wonder if he would still write, "For men had grown more tender and wouldn't give him pain." Would he still write that now? We live in a world where people are so overtly concerned with their own personal sensitivities, about being offended, about being hurt. Classic books, university texts, plays have what we now call trigger points, warnings that you may just be offended by the content, because it seems that some are so easily offended or get their sensitivities offended. I understand that Mary Poppins has been upgraded from a U certificate, that's universal, to PG. It now has to have parental guidance because of one word in it that may upset someone. Watership Down has also fallen foul of that because there's some mild violence, rabbits fighting. I learned that yesterday Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan have fallen to the same woke agenda. I wonder just how much of all of this silly nonsense is just an escape from the real offence that is happening in the world in which we live. You'll be well informed enough without me creating a list this morning of the stuff that's happening in our world. But the account of Easter is of certain people getting offended and turning that offence, their own sensitivities, into hatred. Because Jesus had offended the wrong people, or maybe the right people, take it which way you like. But he had offended both their religious and their racial sensitivities. And to get their own way, they manipulate Rome and turn their sensitivities into a state crime. As we have sat through this morning, we have heard through the readings what occurred. I wonder if what we are recalling today how that affects people's sensitivities. The words of Studdard Kennedy said, "But they were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap." It hurt people's sensitivities? Maybe not. 720 years earlier, a prophet by the name of Isaiah, with unashamed disregard for any offence or for anybody's sensitivities, said this about the one who would come, which is Jesus: "He was despised and rejected. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." If he had been writing that day today, that would have had trigger warnings aplenty on it. They are cruel words, but they can neither be changed nor reclassified to placate our sensitivities. Because today is a day about looking back in remembrance, about looking back on something that cannot be changed and will never be changed, but we have to approach it with the right kind of sensitivity. And that sensitivity comes with a deep sense of gratitude for what happened on that Good Friday. So as we approach our time of communion this morning, yes, it is an act of remembrance, but it's an act of gratitude, a very, very deep gratitude. We may, as we already have done through the readings, recall the injustice, the brutality of the arrest, the travesty of a trumped-up trial, the religious contortions and political expedients that were all involved in all of this thing, concluding with the unjust suffering. If you take the time scale of today, Jesus is crucified at 9 o'clock. He dies at 3. The last 3 hours was darkness. We remember all of that. But only to look back, only to recall the events of that day, misses the reality that Jesus points to, because when we break bread together, it is also about looking forward. Listen to what Paul writes sometime later: "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." There is a time limit on this. We remember looking back, but with deep gratitude, with deep sensitivity of what today is about, we do it looking forward, because none of us know how many more times we may do it. We do it until he comes. Let's just prepare our hearts and minds as we come and receive communion. I just want to read to you some words of preparation and invitation. "The table of bread is now made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world, with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth, in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come. It is Christ who invites us to meet him here. Let's just be silent for a few moments. We have tables on each side here, and I invite you just to come forward this morning and partake of this communion. We'll do this following these familiar words. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." As we have shared in this act of remembrance together, so we share in our corporate hope of your return. Thank you, Father, for leaving us this reminder of the depth of your love. Thank you for reminding us that you, who began a good work in us, have committed yourself to carrying it on until its completion, until you return. So with great and deep sensitivity, we come to you this morning. Take part in this with deep gratitude. Amen.